For up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to The Accredited, powered by 10th Year Seniors here on Guardian Radio 96.9. I'm Ronaldo, and on today's show, I am mandated to say happy birthday to Megan Shepherd as much times as I said happy birthday to Joy Taylor. Happy birthday, Megan.
I don't even know who Megan Shepherd is, but it's happy fine. Birthday. I'm Ricardo.
I'm John Mark, and I ran 2 miles yesterday consecutively after surgery.
Proud of you, dog.
It was a ACL or what was it?
ACL, like? Meniscus, okay. Took out a bone spur, you know.
All right. Full clean up, John.
We got a lot to get to today. Boy, we have Karifta to talk about. We have the NBA players to talk about. NBA playoffs to talk about, sorry.
We have the NFL draft
to talk about. There is a lot to get through. This is one of those shows we are going to need 2 hours, but we don't have to. We have an hour. We got to split all of these topics
into like 50 minutes.
Two 30-minute segments. And so quickly, Cardo, do your job, and then we're about to jump right into it.
If you want to join the conversation today, telephone lines are open. You can hit us up at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or toll-free 242-300-5720. Text lines are also live. You can hit us up. It's powered by BTC, 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. So, yeah.
All right. So, it has been a busy 2 weeks because when you look at Karifta, you got to look into it deeper than just the actual weekend of competition on Easter weekend itself. Mm-hmm. You got to go back to trials. Actually, I feel like you got to go back to BISS and GSSSA. Like, I consider all of that.
Yeah, that's just one consecutive work period.
Yes, within the... I mean, and not just for us. I'm talking about the workload placed on the kids. But as everyone knows by now, it was one of... We're going to start with Karifta Track and Field. One of the most successful showings across the board, whether you talk to people that have been around this sport since the inception of Karifta in 72 to now, they have considered this one of the most successful showings. And it was highlighted by lots of incredible performances, some that captivated the region, not just the Bahamas itself. But we always know what the rhetoric is around Karifta. It's about youth development of the sport and whether we're trending in the right direction or not. And after a few down years where you had people, you know, suggest otherwise, I think you would have to say trending in the right direction, right?
Oh, no, for sure. It's look, here's the thing. And we've been around for a long time, right? And we've seen BISS and the young talent that we saw when they were running U13 BISS has risen to the forefront. And showing, and I said it when we were in Trinidad, generational talent is coming up. Like, it's not that hard to see. Like, this is generational talent. We have some of these athletes who are going to be in the next 2-3 years, like, making their mark on the professional scene. I think some of them are going to just have to, granted, the Bahamian thing is to go to college, right? Right. But I think some of them have the opportunity to just say, you know what? We don't have to go to college. We could just become a professional and go that route.
But I think that can change more quickly than people think. And I think it within a 3 to 5 year time span, I think that changes. So I saw Usain Bolt do an interview where he said everything changed for young Jamaicans in because their model was, yeah, we go to college too and go up through that route. Everything changed with Asafa Powell because Asafa Powell showed them that I can train at home. I can break the world record. And so you had a whole group after that that changed their mindset into what they can do with track and field. And obviously track and field in this part of the world, not as lucrative as the team sport. Mm-hmm. So you had the one model that you follow. But it could be that one Bahamian that breaks through and does that and kind of changes the way people look at it. Might be Carlos Brown.
Yeah.
It could be. So for Karifta, Team Bahamas gets 37 medals in total, 60 in gold, and the second highest amount of gold medals since they won in 84.
So we weren't even born yet.
Yeah, so that in itself shows you.
I was waiting for Nala to clarify when he said some people say this may be one of the most successful. I've never seen a more successful grifter in my lifetime.
Well, I think we haven't. Yeah. Not in our lifetime. Okay. We haven't. But there have been.
Okay.
With the new age of social media, you know, the digital aspect, everything is readily available now. I remember growing up, it was so hard to actually watch a grifter. Or you had to go to, it was one of those things with BIS. You had to be there to see what was going on and know. And you had to wait for, you know, telegrams. Like,
shut up, Brett.
That's what it was. But it's something where now we get to see it and everyone is a part of the conversation
in real time.
Immediately. Yes. So it's not like, oh, we saw Egan get the baton in the 4x1 and roll past the dude and get the gold medal. Like, everyone, that was a viral moment. Or Cecilia Wolverine, it should have been. But that was a viral moment of just showing, like, I feel like of the Carifta games, that's probably one of the biggest moments. I know we got a record on the 17-4. I expected that. But I feel like that was a moment where it was like, oh, no, Bahamas didn't come to play.
But that what you bring up is actually a great point because it makes these kids superstars right away.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is because the amount of people that were talking about Egan Neely, or we're talking kind of, but should have been talking more about Jakario Wilson. And those are just two names because they stand out, but it is a star making vehicle. And the turnaround on how they become stars is so much quicker now that I think the math on everything is sped up. So we honestly, at this age, you got to be looking at them as big business.
No, for sure.
You have to be. And I know we think of sports recreationally, but no, this is big business. All of the people from the entire track and field world globally come down to this meet.
And here's the thing with Jakario. He clipped like 3 hurdles and he still won by like half a second. Like, he blew the competition away. If he wouldn't have clipped those hurdles, he would have probably had a faster time than the U20 boys.
So let's talk about it in general terms. We mentioned those two names, right? So when we talk about how great Team Bahamas did at this Carifta Games, you got to start with Egan Neely. Four gold medals. 200, 400, part of the 4x1, part of the 4x4. And I think in terms of the style points, the way he anchored those two legs is something that captivated everybody. Because if you're not a parent, if you're not around high school track and field like that, you don't know these kids. But when they put on the colors of the flag, it's easy to just root for that. When you become a star immediately, the way he did it, I think that's something special that's going to stick with people. And it's the same thing for Jakario Wilson, winning gold in the 110 hurdles, 400-meter hurdles, and then on the same two relays with Egan Neely. And I said it when we were there. It's reminiscent of when Antonique and Shawnee were doing this at the same time. And I don't know when we've had two at the same time, same age range, just dominant like this in their events.
No, I don't. You really can't say, because last year Egan got bronze in the 400, right? Shows a progression. But we always had women do really well in Carifta. That's one thing we've always had.
All of our Cecilia Award winners have been women.
Yeah, that's why I probably didn't get it. But all I'm saying is to have two males now under 17 going to start getting to the prime doing this is like Sebastian Coe said, this is the biggest junior event in the world. In the world. So now all of a sudden you're doing it at what they say is the biggest stage of a junior worlds. It's not a world championships. It's just a regional meet, but they know how much talent we have. Just shows like I said, these are just superstars in the making, and we have to cultivate them and get the NIL deals, get these corporate Bahamas people to start buying into them so they can get the proper training.
That's the thing. I was watching that, like, it's a whole lot of people just earning D1 scholarships right now. Like, right now as we speak, as we see this. And I saw a lot of rhetoric online with people, and the groundswell of opinion is starting to form around this. People saying, these kids should get something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like, these kids, what do y'all think about that? And I know this is a subject that's very difficult to broach in other places. I can't imagine how difficult it is to broach with our community. Do you think they should be getting monetary compensation for how they do?
I think it's a step beyond monetary. Because you have a situation now where these kids have devoted not only time, but I've seen some comments on social media about the work that their parents have put in to propel them to this level. So you're looking at literally an entire family coming together to make a sacrifice to push, make sure that these athletes get to the level that they need. So it's beyond monetary now. I think it's a situation where you have to provide them with the facilities that they need to continue on this high level. You talk about Neely and all the stuff that he's done this past year of the season. John touched on it earlier. Going from bronze to gold lets you putting in the work to show that, hey, every year I want to make this progress, but you need the kind of support, not just from the government, but as John said, again, corporate Bahamas, other sponsors to step on board to make sure that these kids have the ability to take everything else away and just focus on their development.
Look, if corporate Bahamas was smart, like if 10YS had money,
all right,
I would already try to get a deal with Egan and Jacario and Chiesa and those type of athletes already, because that's the future. And those are the people that are going to get the young people into your brand. Let's just put it that way.
We have a caller. We just want to jump into this. Caller, go ahead.
Good morning, Dave. This is Stark and Weiss, along with you, brothers.
Good morning, brother.
Okay. What I call to say, right, we should be giving those youngsters some more money. I mean, some money. And not only that, you would be helping them to be able to control their finance in years to come. Not only that, they will have something in the bank, you know, whereby they could just do what they want to do, which is the right thing, travel and learn other stuff, you know, and schooling and stuff like that. Those youngsters need some money, and the Bahamas should have those youngsters to be doing sports just for fun, okay? Because they work hard. Sometimes they get hurt and hurt bad. We shouldn't be upholding foolishness. Give those children some money, because it's our money and their parents' money, in which they, you know, would be obtaining.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? Give them some money.
I appreciate the corporate man.
And I agree with that. I know that they brought up the whole medal structure of if you get a medal at a world championships, XYZ, you get X amount of money. I feel Karifta Games should have something at a lower scale.
Right.
You could cap it out to a certain amount of medals, saying if you win 2 gold medals, you get $5,000, that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying? For each athlete. But also, when the caller brought out, I was just thinking, they could actually pull out insurance policies for these kids, because like we said, people get hurt. Right. And you never know how severe the injury is going to be, because the trajectory is up there. So pulling out a life insurance for these kids, or a medical exempt insurance. But if something happens, at least you know that they will be compensated in the future.
Yeah. Go ahead.
It's definitely something we have to not just think about, but I think address immediately, because like I mentioned, this is big business. Yeah. This is no longer love of the game. I mean, we all know love of country and why people do things, but these kids are investments. They are.
Come on, caller. Thanks for joining the accredited.
Yeah, what's going on, young gentleman?
All good, man.
Yeah, Carlo, what's going on?
Right here.
Yeah, you know, this is a multifaceted show. This is a must caller, but I heard you said yesterday that you kind of grew up in Anglestone, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, hats off, man. You know, you're a perfect example of what could happen. You understand me?
Definitely.
And so I just like how you always talking about the situation, with the track and field, with the monetary. Yeah, it's a great idea, Carlo, and cool, right? Because, and listening to you talk about the increments or the amount, right? It's really just basically a form of encouragement, and it's the way to go. I mean, just to get some information, you know, is there any way I could watch the Karifta over? Because I saw, I think the 4x4, that might have been the under 28. The last two guys with the Zion, man, listen, but all of them rolling, right?
Yeah.
the guy who had the third leg and the last leg, man, all of them, because I was so impressed. Like, you see the distance they had?
Definitely.
The guy who ran the first leg, who that was, Carlo?
They led from the first leg, from the start to the finish.
And they had a 100-meter runner in there. So
ridiculous. Yeah. But, and the thing is, why I'm glad you mentioned it was the situation with Osafo, because when I hang up, I'd like you guys to comment on it. Osafo really was talking. You know, he's known as the sub-10 king, right? Osafo Powell, I don't know if you saw the post that he made about how Jamaica hasn't done anything for him, et cetera, et cetera.
And his children.
And, I think his son won like a few races in high school over there. But I don't know. I had the opportunity to go to high school in Jamaica for an exchange program. And this would have been in the 80s. I don't want to carry you back at the dark ages, right? When we was running a curry dirt. But I went to a high school in the country. And the reason why you see Jamaica's doing so well is because, you know, the last time we won, the Carifta would have been in the 80s, right, Carlo?
Yeah, 84.
So what I noticed with them is, when I was there, which would have been in like 1980, they didn't have too much facilities. But if you go over there now, you would see the difference. You understand? I'm telling you. And it is spread, and they have watched one another on TV, and they have incentivized one another. But just comment on the Asafa Powell story. I don't know if you guys saw it, but it really was heartbreaking for somebody. Like, I mean, I did track and field, so even, hey, Carlo, you know, even simple as drinking a white malt or a drink at the wrong time before your race can make the difference of, you understand that, right?
Right.
So it requires discipline. So and the guys that made me proud, I really would like to watch all of the races. Is there any way I could go and watch it?
Yeah, we get to so,
right now.
Thank yeah. you, 50. So if you go to YouTube, Sportsmax should have most of the clips. They do have the live stream as well, if I'm not mistaken. Like, you might be able to find that if you go to the tab where it says live. So just go there and you should be able to watch everything.
So in reference to what he was saying, I remember this was back in 2009 and I was in Jamaica. I think we had to write a story on a day in the life. We did Veronica Campbell. We did Usain Bolt. So it was journalists from all over, from Europe, from the Caribbean. We were just following them, learning more about what the J3As did and how Jamaican track and field was becoming what it was. Yeah. And I remember talking to the then president, the late Howard Aris, and he was saying how they identify talent very early, the same way we do. You know how they have their primary school championships. Systems, they identify the talent very early. And they know in many of those cases, the families are not able to support what is going to be needed to get those kids to the next level.
Right.
So there are conglomerates of corporations, of local corporations, of people with interest in track and field that do get together and actually are responsible for sponsoring these kids at every step of the way and getting them to that next level. So it's a holistic country approach they take. And that is why you saw the development from them getting to where they are, like we talked about, when the competition was closer in the 80s to where it is now.
And I hate to say it like this because people has always put like this bias on sports. But when an athlete has the ability to focus, like all of the stresses of life is taken off of them, they perform better. So if you have a lot of these kids coming up and they aren't coming from the best communities, the best homes, this is a perfect opportunity for the government to step in and say, hey, we can't fix all of your woes, but we can facilitate it so that when you're, you know, preparing for a race, preparing for a meet, you have the ability to just kick back, relax, and focus on your development.
And let's be real about the way our system is. So Jamaica has more of a school-based system. Yeah. We have more of a club-based system here. And Devin Charlton gave voice to this when she recently launched her foundation. And she said a year ago, she looked at the Carifta team and it was predominantly private school kids, because those are the ones whose families can afford for them to be track clubs.
Let me just stick this pin right here. I don't want it to be a situation where people look at it and be like, well, if we could afford to send our kids to track clubs, because that is the problem. It's not that the track clubs are charging too much, because it is an expensive
business. Oh, it's business. Yeah, yeah.
Correct. Regardless of what it is.
Yeah, I don't expect them to be doing it for free either, because like I said, the business model for all of this changed.
But we have the ability as the country to put the systems in place to facilitate those kids that can't afford the track clubs to get that same kind of energy.
And that's who we're losing.
Right. Come on and call it. Welcome to the Accredited.
Good morning, and I appreciate this. In fact, I appreciate the whole Guardian Radio staff. One day I hope to find a way to show my appreciation. But anyway, what I'm learning here now this morning is if you can't afford to pay, you can't play.
Absolutely.
This seems to be a trickling down effect from countries that cannot afford to play but have to borrow money from the IMF to play.
Gotta be responsible what you do with that money once you borrow it, though.
But the thing is, where did they get the money from? Where did the IMF get the money from to lend third world countries and to call them third world countries?
International banks. The system. The system is the international bank. So
it has nothing to do with the money that was garnered from slavery.
I mean, you could pass on and you could draw the correct through lines to it, but the system is the expensive countries put into a system to allow other countries our size to benefit from. Now, how does that benefit us in the long run? The jury's still out on that.
Okay. But, you know, I really appreciate listening to you all, and I hope that our athletes are able to find a way to afford to pay to play. That's so sad.
I got you. Thank you, caller. But the caller is right. It's things like that where I feel like the government needs to earmark, whether it's through the annual budget or in the borrowing that they do, to say, hey, we need to put a certain amount. Now, I'll touch on that at the beginning of the show. You have a situation where kids are developing over the last 10, 15 years at a faster pace, where they're going out. This is the first time I see us go on toe-to-toe with Jamaica and literally stand up to them. I've never seen that before in my lifetime during the track meet. You guys have been around a couple of years longer than me, so you could say so. The 4x4, the 4x1, we competed with Jamaica and we stood the test.
This is the first time, I would say, because let's just put it this way. When it comes to just numbers, I know we had more. I think we had more athletes than Jamaica this time.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to qualifying numbers, like outdoing them, Jamaica has better field, except javelin. But, you know, they have shot
which
put.
Which I wanted to get to.
Yeah, they have the shot put. But then what it was, if you look at the results, it's the females who took control of Jamaica when it came to the medal count.
Right.
And having a conversation with an actual Jamaican journalist, he said the difference between, one of the differences between the Bahamas and Jamaica is you have, well, not just only the population size, right? Because they have the bigger pool to choose from, which you can't gloss over that
fact. Iron sharpens iron. That's the way I like to look at it.
But you also have, within that bigger pool, you have a larger version going toward that one sport.
Yeah.
For this small country, do you know how diverse we are in the amount of sports that kids are pursuing towards a high level? It's not like that there. Yeah. So when you have those two things combining mixed with everything else that we said before, then that is going to be difficult to catch up.
And this is why
our sports portfolio has advanced drastically since 84 when we won Carifta.
And this is why I love to say we're doing this just off the strength of raw talent. Like, this isn't a situation where we have the schools or the facilities that could produce athletes like this. These are kids that just are showing up, going through the track club programs, going through the basketball programs, the youth football programs, and developing over time. Now, you could imagine we made a concentrated effort to produce quality athletes. Like, if you say, hey, we're going to take taxes off of sodas, off of coffees, off of whatever else, and just put it into actual sporting programs, you'll produce wonders in this small country.
Tariffs?
Tariffs.
You ain't got to be tariffs, but...
John kind of... John alluded to the throws, and I want to mention them specifically because I feel like what has been happening in the country over the last few years, just based on the development of the throwing program, that's a microcosm of what can happen with everything. Because so we kept going back to the 80s, right? And you had Laverne, who was the standard bearer for throwing for a very long time.
The standard bearer of behemoth sports. She was one of the first big stars.
Two-time Austin Seeley Award winner, since we're talking about Carifta. But since then, I would say you can't argue with the fact that there was a deficiency in the throws and in the javelin, specifically for 30, 40 years, until this new generation came about now and is leading. So if we have coaches like Carrington Maycock, who we spoke to at Carifta, who said, you know what, we are going to place a specific emphasis on this and develop these throwers. And this is over a short, I would say 5 to 6 year span. And you have Bahamians at the NCAA D1 level winning national championships. You have Bahamians dominating at the Carifta level.
You see the Penn Relays.
The same girls, Tayshia Stubbs, Diari Scott, going right from Carifta to the Penn Relays and finishing at the top. So just in this one area, we saw what could happen in 4 years if you take that holistic approach and concentrate on it. Now imagine if we extrapolate that to everything else.
And let's just put it this way. I know we really are harping on gold medals, right? But we did really well in throwing as well when it came to the shot put, when it came to discus, when it came to all the throwing events, because we had medals in that. So let's also not discredit the people who came second and third, even made the final.
Oh, the because, people who were there.
Yeah, because making a final is a big deal. Like, it's not like it's a small feat to make a final in an event. So I feel maybe in the next 2 to 3 years, the way that the javelin is, we should see shot put improve. We should see discus improve. I remember before we used to be high jump like crazy. Yeah. And it seemed like that took a little back step. So hopefully we see that come back in the forefront as well.
Yeah, I think having specific coaching for all of this stuff absolutely matters. And we are talking about Carifta, but we also know we can't just limit it to track and field, because what Carifta swimming has done, what Carifta aquatics has done over the... I'm going to take it back beyond just the seven titles in a row. I would say you have to say for the last 10 years, because it was... It's seven in a row, but eight of the last 10, I think it is.
Yeah.
Because I think they won two and then
lost Martinique, it was something when they were together and then they had to separate.
The way we talk about Jamaica's dominance in track and field, and no, we're not at 38 in a row like they are, but seven in a row for the Bahamas. I mean, what our aquatic program has done, that's unlike anything else that the country has had, right? Well, at this level
specifically. Yeah, at this level specifically. See, and I know I might get a lot of slack saying this.
You will. Be careful.
I will definitely get a lot of slack.
Be careful.
The only difference is, like, at this level, we're dominating the region.
Yes.
And then we see them go to college. And then we see maybe one or two of them at the professional ranks. There's a disconnect somewhere between this level to them going D1. And that's where we say it's not pay to play, but the investment needs to be made. So these kids who are dominating at this region just don't dominate at the region. Like, you can't be an athlete and say, I mean, you can be, but like when we in Prince Will, but you can't be an athlete.
Every show.
Shots fired.
Every show.
And say, Charifta was the greatest swimming moment of my life. No, right. it needs to be better than that. You need to be able to say, I made an Olympics. I made an Olympic final. Again. That type of stuff. But that's where the money comes into play.
Right. And again, before we get to halftime, it is a situation where it's iron sharpens iron. If you look at what our kids are doing in the aquatics at the Charifta level, it's not that they aren't dominant. It's just that that's the talent that they have to compete against. Now, if you shop around, you look for other meets for them to be in. Maybe you could go through the U.S. Maybe you could go through the Canadian system, the U.K. system, and find other meets. And then you could find out that, hey, our athletes will slowly but surely start to develop and get better. Just a couple of text messages. First one is Texas indicating that we're missing out on a lot of quality young talent because there is no track clubs in the inner city. We need to focus on trying to get that done. Agreed. I think Devin is trying to do something similar, not inner city.
I feel like that's in all sports that we're missing out on the opportunities for sure.
And the second one is, again, no one is willing to start a track club in the inner city. So yeah, a lot of the Texas are saying the same thing along those lines.
All right, so we are going to head to the half. I feel like we can't close the door on this conversation yet. So when we come back, we'll continue this. We will get to the NBA playoffs. We will get to the NFL draft, I promise.
Have uncontrollable debt? Are you ready to make that move to Fidelity for a stress-free future? These loans have a built-in savings plan that pays you unbeatable interest. Ask about our debt consolidation loans today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I'm going to say Lampkin. Besides carrying all the roofing material needed to cover East End, Enterprises also has all the equipment needed to put it together and to protect your workers. At Enterprises, we got hand tools, power and manual, including hacksaws, hammers, mauls, wrecking bars, well, hopefully they won't need them yet, drill bits, tapes, plumb bobs, levels, and more. We got cement, concrete bond and fiber, lime, sand, and P-Rock. We got dust masks, safety glasses, gloves, hard hats, and high visibility vests. Lampkin, what we got here at Enterprises is a one-stop shop for builders.
For fast, reliable, and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located at the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Make this Mother's Day extra special with Kelly's House and Homes Mother's Day sale Friday, May 2nd through Saturday, May 10th. Enjoy 20% off a beautiful selection of dinnerware, glassware, luggage, silk flowers, and picture frames, except on net items. These are all perfect and stylish gifts to show mom just how much she's loved. Hurry in and take advantage of Kelly's House and Home's 20% off Mother's Day sale, Friday, May 2nd through Saturday, May 10th. Happy Mother's Day, all with love from Kelly's House and Home.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to The Accredited here on Guardian Radio 96.9, powered by the guys here at 10th Year Seniors. I'm Ronaldo Dorset, and again, I reiterate, I am saying happy birthday to Megan just as much as I said happy birthday to Joy Taylor. But they are not equals.
Okay, fair point. Shout out to the whole Fox Sports studio. I don't know who's the talent agent over there, but good work.
You didn't say happy birthday, Megan.
Shout out to Megan. Happy birthday.
Okay, thank you, guys.
I'm John Mark, just in case you didn't know.
Telephone lines are still open. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll free at 242-300-5720. Or you can hit us up on the text line at 422-GR96, 422-4796. The text line is powered by BTC.
Yeah, so when we left the conversation just before the half, we were talking about the fact that we are... And a couple of the text messages alluded to it where we were saying VR kind of lose, as great as things are now, it could be even better because we are losing some of the athletes we could have. And as John said, this is in every sport. We're talking about track and field now, but in every sport, we're losing some of the athletes in the inner city because sports has become pay to play, like the caller said. I feel like, and you always have people from... previous generations talk about how things were in yesteryear, and they talk so much about back in my day, and they talk so much about loving the game and the way things were before. Not a realistic approach we can have for right now, because we know all of this is an investment and people want a return on investment. I think what Carter was saying earlier is, yeah, we have the ability to invest and do these things. The real question we have to answer is, why is it not happening?
Yeah, and I think, like I said during the break, there's a huge disconnect between what actual media does and what corporate Bahamas should be doing. Media is the presentation of the actual event, the actual presentation of the athlete and all that. But the support and the build-up to that athlete becoming who they will eventually become, it comes through financial donations. It comes through sponsorships. It comes through all of these forms of monetary value that you have to put into the athlete to help them develop. And I think oftentimes what we have is we do a poor job as society deciding who our heroes are, who our stars are, who are the persons that should captivate the community. I always go back.
I agree with that 100% because I feel like in our community, that's politicians. And I don't understand why they rock stars.
And this is where the difficulty comes in. I always tell people, like, I remember going to, I took a cruise a couple of years throughout South America. And one of the things I first realized is, like, every community that had any form of a soccer player or any form of athlete, you would meet, before you enter that community, there's a big billboard telling you.
So it's like going to Stapleton.
John was saying this about Chile, where he was telling one of the parents at Carifta, like, that's the way it is in Chile.
And the thing is like, the Carifta athletes right now run fast 100 meter times than these Chilean athletes, right?
It's crazy.
But you know what they're doing in Chile? Gatorade? Yeah. Great. They're plastered all over. So it's just like the ones who made the war relays, they were all over advertisements. The football player, Sammy Reyes, who was with the Vikings, all over whatever it is. So you see your own. The second you go into the city, and you say inner city, like you go into the city in Chile, you go into the less developed places, but you see those things. So it's like kids are seeing that and they're aspiring to say, oh, I could be up there.
All right.
That's the biggest thing, because our kids is... not even our kids, it's just our athletes on the whole. If you don't come for, we're just spoiled as a country, it seems like. If you don't come first place, we're the worst fan base in the world.
No, we're the worst fan base. No, we're some of the worst.
You came second place? You could only muster up second place.
Have you seen our comment section? We are awful people. But also, to give this proper context, John is not just grabbing Chile randomly from out of the air. He is Chilean, so he has first-hand knowledge. I think that's
important. But it's like going to Jamaica, absolutely. You leave the airport.
And you don't even have to create brands for these.
No!
Kids drink Gatorade.
Sponsors,
Grace
sponsors
kids,
all of them.
That's what I'm saying. Our kids drink the Grace coconut water. They eat the Grace foods. Like, you as the company that are important, this, all you have to say is, hey, give me a separate budget to allow me to plaster some of our local
athletes. So why are they on the phone with Egan Neely's people right now?
I don't know. This is where my concern is.
But here's the thing, right? And let's be real. You could say, and we said it, BAISS starts Carifta season, right? we could say when January 1 hits, you got Junkanoo and you got Corrupted Season. Let's put it that way. I don't know why there can't be companies here, you know, beverage companies maybe, and have
that's the easiest place
and
to
have Corrupted bottles, have Corrupted labels, and say, hey, for every case that's sold or everything that's sold, we'll give it 25 cents. To, but you know what I mean?
I'll take it a step further, John. And this is how I always look at these things. I'm not going to call any company in particular.
You might.
But there are companies you and brands out there. Hold on.
Okay.
There are companies and brands out there that sell regardless. Mm-hmm. I don't care. It could be a downturn in the economy. It could be people are going to drink certain things. They're going to eat certain things.
They regardless. Always go buy phone cards.
This is what I'm saying. So all you have to do is you have to spin around and say, hey, we selling these things regardless. Let's do something for country and put one of these kids on it.
Gotta
let's do something for country and put one of these college level athletes on it. Let's do something for country, put Buddy on it, put Shawnee on it.
But make collectibles as well where people could buy stuff and it'll be like, this is a collectible item.
We always looking to buy something. So.
Oh, yeah.
I don't understand what it did. You don't always need foreign to sell something local.
Mm-mm.
Like, I understand there's national brands that you could bring or international brands that you would bring in and it needs to stay exactly the way it is. But then you have some other brands. Like, I'm going to call one company now. Like Coca-Cola, they did this thing the other day, I think a couple of years back with the islands of the Bahamas.
Yes.
Where mm-hmm. to the independent. Those are the kind of things that we need. Coke is going to sell regardless.
I think they did something connected to sailing as well.
Yeah.
When they came to regardless.
That's going to sell. BTC, Alive.
So
these places are going to sell regardless.
Water always going to sell.
Acupure.
Got to drink plain water.
I'm not sure. Chelsea's Choice. Echo Water. All these things are going to sell. Yes.
Okay.
All these things are going to sell regardless. Put some of these local athletes. Put some of the local talent in the promotional. Because what you do then is you not only endear yourself to that community, you make somebody
let's not
bigger
wait,
in our environment.
Let's not wait until they had a professional win a gold medal to say, hey, we now support you.
You
that's
know what
the
we
issue.
Do? And this and I see it start, I see it starting already. Let's not wait until someone else celebrates them.
Exactly.
That's
no, it's always like that.
I was having this conversation about Neely again. It was like as soon as he dominated Jamaica, it's just like the Bahamas have talent like this, and everybody in the comments like taking ownership of him. And I was like, this kid was just at BSS a couple of weeks ago.
No, but he ran 21 seconds at the Corrupted Trials. He ran 21 seconds
at the Trials.
And if you,
it didn't
if
look
you,
real.
No, if you look at his start at Corrupted, it was a bad start. So he had to come back from it. If you look, you know why he had lane 8 in the 400 meter? Because the boy ran a 300 meter, get into his block because he was late.
In other places, there would be a new marketing budget open up immediately. Yes. If somebody run a time like that to say, hey, you have an internet plan that you need to sell. This is the fastest
you
internet.
Remember,
this is the fastest
look,
athlete right
and
now.
Here's the thing. And this is why I enjoy what we do. You remember when he, under 13, when he ran the the new BISS record, 50
yeah.
point whatever?
Mm-hmm.
We post that immediately because you know why? That is big news. Just like when Alexis Roberts
broke Shawnee
was fast. Boy, she was good.
Still is.
Boy. You look at that record she put up. Is. My God. She was so good at Corrupted.
I mean, she still is very
good. I know she's good.
Would
you just
Olympic gold
medalist. You just look at those numbers and you're just like, man. Boy, she was special type. But I feel Egan is in that. Jacario right now, I feel like it's in that same boat. Yeah. Chiesa, even though she didn't win any golds,
oh, yeah.
I feel Chiesa is someone where she's at the point of her career where she needs the nurturing of everything of, you know, gym, products, training.
And we could be out of those 78 kids, we could say this about 78 of them.
Low hanging fruit. And I know we're talking about the money and paying per medal and all that stuff. All I'm asking is for the government to do. Please consider a training facility right next to the old Thomas A. Robinson.
Because the
land is there. There's space there to construct it. Partner with one of these big expensive gyms that we have. Partner with a J-Line. Partner with a MacFit.
UPP?
Partner with whoever.
So my
just
thing
build
is...
build a facility.
We're talking about the exceptional.
Yeah.
From a government, from an administration standpoint, you can't just do for the exceptional. You have to build the actual foundation.
Right.
Yeah.
So so when these things happen, we're not just celebrating these one or two or the few individuals. We have to cast as wide a net as possible to create more of them. I don't want us to just be celebrating, okay, Jazz is the only one in the MLB and then Sebastian Walcott's coming up right behind him. At this point, we shouldn't even still be counting on one hand the amount of major leaguers we have.
Yeah.
Same thing with track athletes that excel to the highest level. Track has been the biggest sport in this country for how long?
Right.
For how long? We still can't be celebrating these few. Or just waiting for it to be happenstance that they get here.
Yeah, and this is one thing where you're saying it takes, you know, the nurturing and everything. We have to also, everything is money, but the amount of time and effort these athletes put in, let's just put it this way, regardless of what corporate Bahamas does, that's just helping them because they still have to put the hours in. When people think that, oh, they did this, and, you know, I'm on a board of a federation, right? When people start saying, oh, the federation's doing well, it's like, all right, cool, yeah, it's doing well, but the work that these kids put in outside of us is the reason they're there.
Oh, absolutely.
It's not because of the perks or whatever they get for whatever reason.
Right.
But it also helps that Buddy is in the NBA. Buddy was able to help mentor VJ. And that's the whole point of trying to have these elite athletes.
Speaking, oh, never mind. I was going to segue, but we got a call. Go ahead.
All right, go ahead, Carlo.
Yes, good morning. Good morning, guys. Listen, I'm a senior citizen sitting down and listening to you guys, young fellas, man. It seems like all the answers are outside of the government, man. You fellas need to be hired as consultants, man.
I agree, sir. Right away. I agree.
I think it's, you know, you are hitting all the right notes. And all of, but, you know, it's amazing how many times we elect governments, you know, with so many plans. I remember when the under one of the PLP administration men, Dr. Danny Johnson, he was the Minister of Youth and Sports. And, you know, he had this idea, which was extremely good, to build an academy of sporting, not only just sports, but other things,
facilities,
music, and whatever, cultural events and whatnot, where you take these gifted and athletes and, you know, prepare them. They would just concentrate on the sports and the, you know, the academics well. But the problem is that, you know, we have these good ideas and then the administration changes and another one comes with their plans. Like Mr. Garvin always said, we need a national development plan that regardless who is in government, that the plans are followed so that we can have, you know, continuity in our plan. Because if not, we just keep on spinning the wheels over and over and over again. But I hope that they're listening to you and that they'll take some of the good advice that you're giving today, man. Keep it up. You're doing a great job.
All right. Thank you, John.
Thank you, Gola.
The good news is we bleed Bahamian.
All right. Go ahead, Gola.
Oh, another one.
Yes, good afternoon, gents. How you doing?
Good afternoon.
We're good, pretty
man. Good. Good show today. And congratulations to the athletes, man. You know, I didn't get to see any of the coverage like that, but I heard they did really well. Listening to the show today and still hearing y'all on the radio talking about what the government needs to do and how our sports program in this country is still lacking, it's a bit troubling because when I was in school a couple of decades ago, I won the Nationals in a particular event 2 years back-to-back. And I did it through just natural skill. Never had a trainer, never had any real, you know what I mean? It was just, I just went out there one day for, you know, I have in a house bought in school where we compete in the school, but, you know, everybody get a different house. And I did a sport just for the fun of it, just for participation. And I ended up beating the gentleman who represented the school, ended up breaking the record for the school. And ended up going on to win Nationals 2 years back-to-back. But through that, no one never approached me to train me. You know what I mean? And years later, I mean, because I felt as if, you know, looking back, I say, you know something? Boy, if I had that, I could have gone there. But I look at life and I say, you know, everything is for a reason. Mm-hmm. But I feel as if we need to have, if it's not something that we do, we need to have individuals from the government in particular who at these events, you know, take aside individuals and make sure that the individuals who win these particular events get the necessary training to develop their potential that they have. You know what I mean? And like I said before, to listen decades later, they still hear us complaining about the lack of the government's putting in resources or even paying the proper attention to the sports is a terrible thing because then it could do so much for the youth. You know what I mean? I mean, you know, it could get them to spend their time and attention doing other things, you know, if you can get them to love a sport.
Right.
You know, that kind of way. And I mean, I feel as if we could expand like other gentleman was talking earlier about building other facilities, we could expand more too on other, I don't know if you could call chess a sport, you know what I mean? But we've been chess and, I don't know.
It is.
Oh, yeah, you know what I mean? So we could encourage that too, you know what I mean? I feel as if chess should be something that we should push in schools because it's a game that teaches critical thinking skills. It teaches, you know what I mean, to think ahead and all other type things, you know what I mean? But like I said, it's a good show, but listening to y'all still talking about how our government is failing is disappointing because, like I said before, I won nationals 2 years in a row, and no one ever approached me about, you know what I mean, to train me or anything, nothing, you know, that kind of way. So it'll be a shame that individuals with potential could still be going to waste like that for a lock. I mean, you know, and sports is such a big thing in the Bahamas, you know, that kind of way. Like, you know what I mean? You would expect that our government would be more involved. You know, but good show, gentlemen. And I mean, you know, it's up to y'all who have that passion to make that happen. You know what I mean? If y'all see the lock, then make it y'all goal to try and see if y'all could do something about it. Put your name in history, man. Y'all have a good day.
Absolutely. All right,
appreciate it.
All right, we got to talk about LeBron and Shedeur Sanders next week because, we got to keep going with this. This is where we're at. So I think the second caller, his story is literally indicative of everything that we were talking about, because there is no way that somebody should have just been able to walk into a sport, display that level of potential, and nobody came around to cultivate it to see where that could
and
go.
And the sad reality is you probably have hundreds, maybe thousands
that,
of people
I
know in
that,
same
I know for a fact that is still happening.
Yeah.
I know that is still happening because that's the way it should be done. The same way he said, look, it should start the job. Really, the job should not and it cannot start at the clubs. The job has to start with PE teachers in the schools because they are the ones with the first eye on the talent.
Right.
So when, yeah, then you go through that and then they do their evaluation and yeah, you go through your house sports and this is the way the progression happens, right? And
how many family kids you think are missing out with the same
shoots,
thing?
We talking about the ones that we missing out in Nassau.
I know.
It's 10 times as many that you missing out on the family islands just from a lack of facilities and evaluation and proper development.
I like the use of the word evaluation. And I think this is where we often miss the target, not just in sports, just in our education system in general. If you go through systems around the world, what you quickly realize is that there are so many screening processes in place to identify kids, whether they're good in math, whether they're good in language, whether they're good in chemistry, biology, physics, whatever it may be, that we just seem to just credit, okay, yeah, he got an A, da-da-da-da-da, and there's no follow-up. There's no space to put that kid into a program to allow that kid to properly flourish and develop over time.
Because we put him into a box, and we try to put everyone into the same box. And with the other caller mentioned about the national sports academies, and me and John used to make the jokes all the time about when Danny Johnson was minister, and yeah, we know what the speech is going to be like, but in retrospect, you got to appreciate somebody who was actually trying to hammer that point home, and the fact that we still remember that he used to be saying it, because yeah, it's something that's desperately needed. Bruh. All of these kids, and it goes back to what we were saying about Asafa Powell. Yeah. College ain't going to be for everybody.
Mm-mm.
It's not going to be for everybody.
But look at the basketball route. The basketball route has now changed, even here locally.
The model has changed.
College isn't the only option. We spoke about it extensively with Dominic Bridgewater.
So if that's for that to come on stream, and you mentioned them building the facilities here
The
space is there. The expertise is there in the country. So what is the thing that's missing? What is the thing that's missing from us getting this just to ideas to that to actually come to fruition?
I think the key is what you mentioned about Dr. Danny Johnson. And why I say this, because I remember after they lost the election, I was like, is certain people that exist in certain roles that no matter what happens in politics, they should still be involved in some way.
Like it never happened.
No, I'm just saying. I know it's never going to happen. But I'm saying, like, there are people that
you're saying that
mandates.
There are agendas that
right.
should be able
systems,
to be continued.
There are systems, agendas, there are mandates that should still exist after somebody's
not
voted
on cancel.
But I just don't get that mindset. Like, on my drive into the station this morning, I passed by the new thing that they're going to build there, the new clinic on the corner of Coconut Grove. They already have the land, and then right next to that is going to be a new BPL power station of some sort. And I say to myself, this happened in the blink of an eye. If you drove past that same spot a month and a half, 2 months ago, it was just bush. So somebody had the foresight to say, nah, but we got to make this happen right now, right here. Why isn't that the case with everything else? Why can't we sit aside and say, hey, this is an absolute perfect spot for us to build a gym for our athletes and whoever else to work out, to get their reps that they need to, you know, be in the facility, to get the education, to get all the things that they need right here, and then go out on the track and do what they have to do.
You know why? Because we're content with the success that we have now.
And we're not
looking at what it actually could be. So we love when we get to celebrate these stories. And I remember being so upset when Buddy was getting drafted and everyone was sharing the story about, hey, it's so great that he learned to shoot on a crate. And I'm like,
that's terrible.
I was like, Buddy ain't grow up in 1935. What are we talking about? Why are we still celebrating that? Why should he have been training on that?
You know what one of my favorite Buddy moments is, though? So I was in Sacramento covering a game, right? And Buddy goes on the court, and the court was slippery. And Buddy said, y'all need to come dust this court up, right? And the guy says, Buddy, you're from the islands. And he said, I didn't get this far to play on this trash.
Yeah.
Like, even though he grew up growing up shooting on crates, he wanted to shoot on hoops.
Yeah.
Like, he wanted the best facility he can at the time. He's like, I didn't make the NBA for y'all to have me to play on this slippery floor.
And that's the part that upsets me, because we've seen it on both ends. We've seen people like Buddy Hield, who's had the dedication for the game, who knew from early age, hey, this is what I wanted to do. I made the best of a horrible situation and made his way out. And then we see the stories like DeAndre Ayton, who somebody saw him as like, bro, you have the perfect build to do this. I'm going to teach you. We've seen both of these elements, and nobody in this country, our system has not stepped up. I'm not going to say nobody. Our system, government, system, our procedures have not stepped up and say, hey, we're going to make the way to literally fill all these gaps. All these problems that we face, we're going to step in and make the change now.
But you realize these stories that these athletes have in the basketball side is so crazy, because when they're 13, 14, they're taken away from what they know and they're put into a system in the States of they have no idea what's going to happen.
Imagine if we could do it right here.
That's what I'm saying. With the comfortability of home, like you say, you're always going to play better when you know that there's nothing to worry about. These kids are still in the States worried about, is my visa going to get renewed?
Fox.
Is this person going to buy me
really
lunch today?
No.
And see, it's times like, and this is why I tell people, like, you can get into the politics and this stuff, but you have to admit, right now with all that's going on in the world, you have the perfect opportunity to look in the mirror and look at yourself as a country and say, hey, I don't want my kids another generation from now to have these worries.
Mm-hmm.
There's a possibility here. Let's make the difference. It's the same thing with the clinic. Somebody looked at that and say, hey, this could be a perfect property for a clinic. Somebody can look at what's next at the time, say, Robinson Stadium right now and say, hey, let's just get a gym here.
But the same way how we look at the U.S. as the mecca of everything. That's how we look at it here.
Why not
become the mecca in the Caribbean, where it could be easier to get the top tier athletes. Yeah, shout out to Danny Johnson. Get the top tier athletes here, and then all of a sudden, iron sharpens iron because you're bringing the best talent in here.
The models have existed. Like, things were close. We take it back to Carifta where we started. Things were close with us in Jamaica in the 80s. They went left. We went right.
Yep.
They ate yams. We had peas and rice.
I mean, I ain't gonna disparage peas and rice. You on your own with that one. But
we have yams too.
Take it to baseball. When Andre Rogers was playing professional baseball and you had that generation where you had Bahamians in the minor leagues, we were not that far off in the Dominican Republic at that point. They went left. Again, we went right. We went the route of these things are recreational. This is not what real life is about. These other countries went the route of, no, this is going to get us where we need to go. And that's why 30, 40 years later, it looks completely different with those two things.
Two generations. And that's why I'm saying now you have the ability to lay the foundation that's going to not only reshape us as a country, but reshape us as a people.
Like, Andros could have had a whole fourth city of just sport and call it sports city.
So basically hire us as consultants permanently across political lines, across governments. Because right now, coincidentally, all of us are wearing black. No specific political party affiliation. I mean, I'm just saying.
I get with that. Like, I keep telling people, it's not the conversation, and we've had this conversation the last couple times I've been on the White Show. We have the ability amongst us as people to make the difference. We need to stop letting, like you mentioned, the colors. We need to stop letting them get in between and separating us from what we could potentially do. This past week, we had the hoopla about what Mrs. Santa Martin and Anglican has done and all this other stuff. The fact still remains that if you go into communities like that, that used to be the breadbasket of great Bahamians. What changed that? When was the last time you looked at it and said, hey, something good is coming out of being in Grantstown. Something good is coming out of Anglican. Now is the time for us to put the facilities in those communities to ensure that 20, 30 years from now, all you're talking about, oh yeah, that facility in Anniston produced 10 NBA players. It produced 50 NFL players. It produced 100 track stars.
I think it produced jazz.
I think his Grammy is right off the box at Anniston.
Yeah.
Again, it shouldn't be the exception. It should be the rule. And I keep stressing that.
We're gonna talk about the playoffs or the draft in 2 minutes.
Yeah, let's shoot it.
What's going on with the Lakers?
I don't know if Bron and Luka realize that they could play together, like really, really well. Like, so they taking turns, and I don't understand it. Luka had an off night.
So someone got rapid fire. Go quicker, John. Your question's coming next.
Go ahead. That's all I got.
What's going on with Buddy and the Warriors? Boy, I mean, Buddy he's a tricky shooter. When he hits, he hits. Back to you, Cardo. What's going on with Shedeur Sanders?
Deion Sanders.
I said the same thing, Deion John. Deion Sanders. Same question. What's going on with Shedeur Sanders?
Deion. I'm gonna hear your response because you like one of the prototypical dads. Like, how do you think his interaction with the league is impacted the sun? We have 2 minutes.
I don't think it's impacted it at all.
You don't?
I don't think it's impacted.
Oh, I think it has.
I think right, dude's so, had an issue with him and taking it on this kid.
Okay, yeah, so no, I agree. Okay, so maybe I overstepped that when I said not at all. I think we're...
It's stupid. That's what you think it is.
I think we're overblowing...
What the real message is happy birthday, Megan.
Happy birthday, Megan. That'll do it for this week.
Thank you.
Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
AP News for Friday, April 25th. I'm Ben Thomas. President Trump pressuring Ukraine to make territorial concessions in a peace deal.